Okay, so we've been working through last through the Parsha 2 weeks ago, but Midbar, the counting, then we started counting the Levium, and okay, we did Kahas, and now he says we're doing right, supervisor of B'nai Gershon, and they were given the following tasks. They were given the responsibility to prepare any woven materials, curtains, coverings, screens, and, right? They had to take care of the courtyard when they were going to travel, and they transported all this. They also had the task of shir, of being involved in the singing of the mizmorim during shachris. The Levi choir had at least, it says, 12 singers, we know, we say it on Shabbos, Shir Shehalavim, and we say every day, on the first day, right? The earth and its fullness is Hashem's world. This is the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Today, which is Monday, we started off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great and praised throughout the city of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the mountain of holiness. And we're told in Maaseh Bereishis, today was a day God established the firmament to divide the upper and the lower waters, and somehow appointed the upper spheres as the place where his Shekhinah would mostly reside. And then, connected that, in other words, to have a spot in our world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the city, and it says in the Har of His Holiness, which we know as Har Maria. And the other days of the week all had their respective shir. We're told that when the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash occurred, it says, song was never on the same spiritual level as then. Any song, even those presumably in the second Beis HaMikdash, somehow could not replicate the feeling of Kedusha or the feeling of harmony, of spiritual perfection in the world. That happened. It says, when the first korban occurred, Nebuchadnezzar had a group of Levim captured, brought them to Bava. And he saw them crying, and he said, "Why? Why are you crying?" I know, I guess he realized they had the ability to sing. "Here, I'll give you violin, sing." And they said, "Never. We had the opportunity to play music in the Beis HaMikdash for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there is no way we can now debase ourselves singing for this," they said, "small man and his idols." They said, "Halavai, we had been more careful when we were in the Beis HaMikdash, and we wouldn't be here now." And it says, the musicians had a problem. How could they refuse to play? So it says they each amputated the thumb of their right hand. They raised their bleeding stumps and said, "Eichna shir Hashem, how can we sing a Kodesh Baruch Hu song? We're maimed." It says, Nebuchadnezzar lost it and murdered thousands of captives. Nonetheless, it says the Levim were still pleased that they hadn't debased their song for these getchkas. It says that that specific group of Levim were actually saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they came back with Ezra to build the second Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "These Levim injured themselves. Al pi kiddush Hashem, for God's honor, I am going to let them see the defeat of their enemies and see them the restoration of the Avodah to the Beis HaMikdash." The last family of Levim to be counted was Merari. They had the responsibility to carry the Mishkan's boards, bolt sockets, and Isamar ben Aaron was their supervisor. And he gave each one their appropriate task. It says, once a Levi was given a specific task, that remained his perennial task, and he could not trade with somebody else. Again, we're told that all this was the lead up to what we read by Yehiba Yoim Hashmini way back when, right? In Parsha Shmini, this all occurred before Nisan in the second year when the Mishkan was put into place. And Hashem now put into place the what we call the three camps, right? Of Klal Yisrael, you had the Mishkan, and around it you had the camp of Shekhinah. Levim were in that. Not I think the Kohanim were there, Moshe and Aaron. Around that was the camp of Levia, the second circle, and the third circle encompassing the second was that of Klal Yisroel. And they were given the, yes, you would say, the command to now observe these halachas of ritual impurity, Tumah and Tahara, and someone who was Tameh was required to leave camp. As to how many or what, where they were allowed, depended on the severity of the Tumah. The Machne Shechina, the camp of the Shechina, this was corresponding in the base of Megdush to the area, they say, from the Ezras Yisroel inwards. The Machne Levim, the camp of the Levim, would correspond to Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount. And the last camp in the Yisroel would correspond to the entire city of Yerushalayim, excluding the Har HaBayis. Right? And we know, for example, that Meiser Sheni, right, and certain karbonos could only be eaten inside Yerushalayim if they were kodshei kalim, and if they were more holy, they had to be eaten on the Har HaBayis, right? And depending on the tumah of people, right, what camp did they have to leave? Where were they allowed and where weren't they? Now we're told that the halacha of sending someone tameh outside of the camp, this halacha was given at Har Sinai, but only now, which was Sivan, and only now, the following Nisan, does this occur that it's now put into place. It says the reason for this is that before the giving of the Torah, it says, Malachim had been given the task of curing any physical defects in an individual which would cause tumah, things such as the zivus, right? Zav, etc. But after the sin of the ego, right? This realization that the actual manifestations of these, quote, spiritual illnesses again occurred. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now that my Mishkan is established, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have my Shechina in the Mikdash, they now had to implement the laws of Tumah because now was when they actually happened. And we're told that B'nai Yisrael accepted this immediately. They were on a level that they understood what Tumah meant. I guess they really understood what some kind of spiritual deficiency meant, and nobody had to be told to leave if they had the problem that would require, you know, them leaving the camps. We were then given the mitzvah of Nidui, the mitzvah that one's got to confess sins done verbally. When a losasa was done, you did something you weren't supposed to. Or if somebody was buckle on a say, you had a mitzvah to do and you didn't do it, and that person then has harata, they want to do tshuva, they want to basically obtain forgiveness. There were three parts. One was feeling sincere regret for the mistake. Then there was an oral confession of what was done that was the problem. And you made a resolve not to go back and do it again. Parshas Naso talks about this vidui, the oral confession. And we're told that the individual would say, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have sinned. I am sorry, and I am ashamed of what I did. And I won't repeat it again. And please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, grant me atonement. We know that for a loisase, you brought chatos, you brought a korban, right, as well. And vidui was said, right, I think with your hands on top of the animal. And why was this procedure of annunciation required? It says, we, by saying to Hashem verbally, we have sinned, we acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish sinners and will give reward to the Oisei Mitzvah, to do his mitzvah. And it says, the oral declaration gives the individual who sinned, it gives them chizuk, strength, to improve and not walk back in the steps of this error again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, as soon as a yid says I did wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I have rachamim, I am merciful to him. Anyone who says vidui before they are nifter retains their chelek, their share in olam haba. And we're told if someone really can't say vidui or whatever, or no one can say it for him, you say, may my misa, may my death be my kapara for my sins. We know the one day a year when we have the special halacha of vidui is on Yom Kippur, when we say Hashamnuz and the Achates. The next halacha the parsha deals with is Gezel Hager. Somebody who steals from a convent. And the ger passes away and presumably has no family. The Kaddish Baruch Hu said, normally if a Jew steals from another Jew, right, whether direct theft or reneging on a pledge or whatever, right? And if the thief denied and he even made a false shvua, when he wants to do tshuva and confess, He's got to return the amount stolen from the victim. And there's a punishment that you add 25% of what you stole. So basically, the 25% becomes, if you had $100, now you got 125, 25 more, and 25 over 125 is 20%. It's the way they calculate it. What happens if the victim was a gear, and the gear, for whatever reason, never got married and has no heir? It says then the restitution must be paid to the Kohanim who are on duty in the base of Migdosh at that time. It says, Goyim who heard about this halacha couldn't believe it. And they said, they acknowledge the wisdom of this. It says, Tzukim, somebody who's moyel, somebody who takes something from the base of Migdash inappropriately, Hashem says, quotes this, sinned mistakenly. On the other hand, somehow stealing from a ger is condemned as being guilty. In other words, we need to have greater sensitivity. Somebody who joined Klal Yisrael because he wanted to become part of a special nation, how can you have the chutzpah to steal from them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was less concerned about taking from his treasury than in wronging someone who came under the Shekhinah voluntarily. This applies, right, when we have, it says, a ger tzedek, right? Someone who went through the proper procedure becoming a yid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has great love for those who come tachas kansei Shechina, under the wings of the Shechina. And Chazal tell us, what's the genesis of gerim? And we're told that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the nations before Klal Yisrael, there were people in each of those nations who would have gone on. While the majority of the people didn't accept, didn't want to accept, being hindered by Torah, there were individuals in the nations who were of such a stature that they realized how beneficial it would be, and they wanted to accept the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, took those neshamas and basically said, you are going to eventually become gerim in Klal Yisrael. Your desire to have entered my covenant, right, back when, will lead you to being part of Klal Yisrael before Mashiach comes. And, right, there are many times that it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to gather whatever so-called Kedusha was left in these other nations back into Klal Yisrael, and that's only through the admission of Gerim, who are special neshamas HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically trusted to live amongst the shmutz of the Goyim, before they enter into Klal Yisrael.